Okay. OSHA Act of 1970, which, Tina, I imagine you know more about it than I do, so we will briefly go through this. It does require employers to provide a safe and healthy work environment for the employee. And so there are certain requirements that healthcare must comply with, because OSHA writes and enforces the administrative rules for requiring standards of health and practice in all workplaces. This is for the protection of the employee, not protection of your clients or anything else. Some of the requirements that OSHA does require of employers is to someone has to train the employees to deal with workplace hazards safely. If you're working for an oncologist and you do chemotherapy on an outpatient basis, you have to be taught how to handle the chemotherapies. Even though you're not administering it, but you're transporting it, you still have to be taught. Ensure that employees wear protective equipment when good safe practice requires. In other words, everyone is standard precautions, which is gloves for everything. Keep certain records on workplace hazards and injuries. Usually these have to be posted. They're usually posted like in a break room or something where, you know, how many days since the last injury and what kind of injury it was. And all workplace accidents have to be reported to OSHA. As I said, they have to post a summary. Discipline employees for violating OSHA or employer safety rules. How many times you're suspended or put on probation? You might be suspended 7 days without work or something, or without pay, something like that. You cannot punish employees who file a complaint with OSHA because of workplace hazards, which, such as not having safety needles or having any way of protecting yourself from a stick. There's no place to break off the needles. You have to recap, to, you know, throw them away, that sort of thing. Allow OSHA inspectors to conduct inspections of the workplace at any time, and they don't always call. And obtain the material safety data sheet, the MSDS, from each chemical manufacturer for every chemical housed in the facility. And Highland does this, and their biology instructors are the ones that have most of them, as well as maintenance, kind of our house keeping chemicals. They have to, your job as an employee, though, is that you have to follow all health and safety standards that apply to your workplace. If you're not using gloves, don't go running to OSHA if they're provided. If you have a latex allergy and they only have latex gloves, you can't, they are required to provide non-latex gloves for you. Obey all employer and OSHA safety rules. Use protective equipment when necessary. And you need to report any hazardous conditions to the employer. If they're not paying attention and listening, then you can report them to OSHA. OSHA inspections are usually conducted without advance notice. However, some facilities do have a code. They will page for a doctor, somebody that is not on staff, and they know, okay, we either have public health, we have IPA, we have, you know, some other licensure or credentialing agency, and so they might actually do one for OSHA. The employers have a right to require OSHA officers to obtain a warrant before entering the workplace, though, but kind of sends a red flag unless there's a particular reason. Places with hazards that have a high risk of causing death or serious harm are given the greatest attention. They're the ones most likely to be visited unless there's been a complaint. Can require hazards be corrected immediately or employees removed from the site immediately and not allowed to return until the hazard has been corrected. Some of the steps of the OSHA inspection are opening conference. They explain why the site was selected. Sometimes it's just random. Sometimes it's because someone filed a complaint. Sometimes it may be that they were contacted by the public health because, ooh, we seem to get a lot of, particular type, statistics from this area, like, say, cancers, in which case they will see, and they're working there. This has been brought to their attention, so they will investigate the site to see how these chemicals are being handled, if the proper elements are there for safety. They'll walk around, which may include interviewing employees. And then they have a closing conference where they discuss the findings and choice of action if violations have been found. They can be cited. So they get a citation which lists the violations, proposed penalties, required corrective action, and the deadlines for making them. And that has to be sent within 6 months of inspection. Many times, though, if it's something that hazardous that they're at concern, they will close them down. Appeals may be made within 15 days of receiving the citation, and it may reduce the fines or settlement agreement. Medical hazard regulations, and this would include us. The hazards that are normally in a medical office that can put an employee's health or safety at risk are electrical and mechanical equipment. And that's one of the reasons why it's the responsibility of the medical assistant many times to make sure that these equipments are in working order, and so we're not causing hazards. You don't have frayed cords. If you have a frayed cord, you port it. You don't use that equipment with that frayed cord. Chemicals such as disinfectant sprays and lab chemicals, they have to have the MDS, and therefore you should know how to handle them. And blood and body fluids many times will show up. I mean, if you're doing a venipuncture, you got blood, so you need to know what to do and how to handle. But that is a risk. The hazard communication standard requires that all employees have a written hazard communication program. And believe it or not, this has to be covered every year. As a healthcare professional, you will be doing bloodborne pathogens training every year or whenever you change jobs. But the minimum is every year that you will actually have to go through the training. And you may think, again, you also have to go through many times patient safety training. It's required. The employer must post a list of all hazards in the office in plain view. Ours is in the break room. I mean, it's not out where students are going to see it, but it is out where the employees are seeing it. There has to be a manual that provides information on each hazard, including how to protect against injuries from it. And this manual is actually in several places at Highland, but would be probably kept in the main office in a healthcare facility. What's on the MSDS is each ingredient in the product, requirement relating to protective equipment and safety instructions, any risk. Is there a risk of fire, explosion, chemical reaction when mixed? Any risk if contact with skin or inhalation, as well usually as treatment after the exposure, and how to fight a fire resulting from the chemical. Does it have to be foam? Does it, what do we use? Water or whatever? Now, we talked briefly about the bloodborne pathogen standard that you would have to do every year, and this just gives you the standard. You cover all specimen containers with a secure lid. You wear gloves and mask when handling patients' specimens. You dispose of medical waste in proper hazardous waste containers. You immediately decontaminate surfaces on which body fluid has been spilt, and your office would have a policy for how to clean up that. It's usually 10% solution of bleach. You need the written procedure for routine daily cleaning and decontamination. Follow CDC's hand washing standards, which is before care and after care. And if you're exposed, you need to write an incident report, and what happened. How did this exposure occur? What they're looking at is the process. Is there a breakdown in the process, or was it related to inattentiveness, or was it the process we didn't have what we needed? And it's just a matter of looking to see if it's the process. Category one of the CDC's task categories, exposed employees to contact with mucous membrane, skin contact that involves tissue, blood, or body fluids, and it gives you throat cultures, which you'll be doing. You might help with pelvic exams, minor suturing. All of you have done phlebotomy. And it tells you, you need gloves, goggles, and gowns are required. Now, having said that, I know when I was going around with for the phlebotomy, you didn't necessarily wear all that. But you always had gloves on, which I'm thankful. Category two doesn't involve direct contact with tissue, blood, or body fluids. That's like your urinalysis, your x-rays, injections, and ECGs. The protective equipment are not required, but suggested, especially gloves. Hazardous medical waste include your needles, your scapulas, the grossly soiled examination table paper, gloves, stuff like that. Sharps must be disposed of in a puncture-proof container that is clearly marked as a biohazard. Other hazardous medical waste may be disposed of in a leak-proof plastic biohazard bag. They're usually red, and they have the symbol